An amazing night of football in Baxter. An emotional ride for two fan bases as they try to get a win between Livingston and Upperman. We'll talk about that game. We'll also visit with Cookeville coach Jimmy Maynard. We'll talk football from Gainesboro, Smithville, all as we come to you from Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive on a warm and humid Saturday morning across the Upper Cumberland. We call it the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. First things first, we look back to the scores from Friday night as we're already in week four of the high school football season. Livingston defeating Upperman 10-7 Friday night in Baxter. The Bees' first loss in the regular season since September 29, 2017. Upperman outgained Livingston 347-145 in this game and possessed the ball 5 minutes more than Livingston, but it was just one of those nights where the plays did not go the Bees' ways. Cookeville gets their first win of the season, defeating White County 43-12. Cookeville rushed for 357 yards and 6 touchdowns. Cameron Harris, 5 rushes, 143 and a score. Quarterback Cedric Lefwich, 6 of 12 passing, 83 yards for White County. He also rushed it 12 times for 35 yards. Monterey 4-0 on the year. They beat Harriman 34-7 the final. Running back Mason Bowman, 16 carries, 127, and 2 touchdowns. Clay County improves to 4-0. They defeat the Jets of Cumberland County 29-0. Bulldogs quarterback Jake Ashlock, 9 of 17 for 119 and an INT. The Clay County Dogs also ran it 9 times for 117. For Cumberland County, quarterback Trevor Parsons, 8 of 14 for 132, 3 interceptions. Jackson County goes to 2-2 on the season, defeating Red Boiling Springs 48-12. Eli Burris was 9 of 10 for 233 and 4 touchdowns on the night. York loses to Grace Christian of Knoxville by a 28-7 score. York rushed it 49 times for 171 yards, led by Zach Gibson, 17 carries, 87 yards. Watertown defeats DeKalb County 42-20. Axel Aldino with 2 touchdowns on the night. One to Isaac Knowles, good for 30 yards. Pickett County falls to Eagleville, 59-18 the final. Quarterback Luke Smith, 64 yards passing, 46 yards rushing. Smith also with a touchdown. CAK defeats Stone Memorial by a 59-20 score. It was Lawrence County over Warren County, 28-21. Macon County defeats Glencliff, 70-8. And Trousdale County shuts out Gordonsville. Final score there, 49-0. The battle they called at Livingston Academy and Upperman Friday night in Baxter, and head coach Bruce Lamb joins us now on the High School Playbook. Is it fair, coach, to call this one a battle?
It definitely was a battle. I mean, I saw a bunch of kids going out there just going at it every play, sweating, burning up, you know, absolutely wore out, and they just kept fighting. And, you know, both teams deserved to win that game. And you know, we were lucky enough to come out with a win. But, you know, my hat's off to Upperman because that's a good football team. Coach Kane has done a wonderful job with those guys.
Oh, just a playoff atmosphere, really.
It really was. You know, the place was packed. Both sides were loud and excited for the ball game. And the kids just, you know, they didn't play great. Neither team played super, but they played extremely hard. And it definitely was a playoff atmosphere.
Scoreless first quarter, was it a sense that you both were kind of just feeling each other out a little bit, or defenses kind of ruling the day?
You know, I think it was a lot of things. You know, a little nerves, maybe a little bit, because, you know, this game was built up so big the last couple weeks. And, you know, and the defenses were playing really well. You know, Coach Kane had a good scheme, and Coach Hauser for us had a good scheme, I just think that you know, when you got two good teams like this, I think you're gonna have games that the defense takes over, and they did last night.
Upperman gets on the board first on a 64-yard touchdown run, but your guys, you come back and answer.
We did. You know, got a very mature football team with those 13 seniors, and you know, they did, never got down. They came right back, and we drove it down and kicked the field goal, and you know, then we ended up playing on defense and had a turnover, and we put it in for the score right before half.
Aubrey Holler's getting the touchdown?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So it's 10-7 at halftime, and kind of what was your message to your football team?
Hey, I just wanted 24 minutes. 24 minutes to finish this game, and we knew at halftime that we hadn't played. We played extremely hard, but we hadn't played really good. We had stopped ourselves a few times, and we just needed to fix those and correct those mistakes and keep going. And the kids, they responded.
So you play the third quarter, no score. Fourth quarter, no score. And then Upperman, in the final minutes, has a chance to win. Kind of walk us through what you were dealing with defensively.
Well, they moved the ball down. I think it was around the 20-yard line, 25, something like that. And it was one of those long drives, you know, with the kind that just wears you out because it's four here, five here, and on down the field. And you know, we just challenged our kids, and we just kept talking. They were gassed. I mean, they were struggling, and we just. You know, they bowled their backs and just tried to control the line of scrimmage. Upperman took a timeout. I think it was on third down, maybe. They took a timeout and threw one deep. And our kids got good pressure on the McAllister kid, and he threw it up. And we intercepted right at the end zone and ran it out. Ran it out, I think, to like maybe the 20 or 30 yard line, something like that, and was lucky enough to run the clock out.
I bet you could see a lot in those young men's eyes after that one was over.
Well, I looked in their eyes and they were tired. They were tired. They were definitely tired. But you know, that's what you do it for on Friday nights when you walk into that. Into that locker room or right on the field as the game's over with, and you look at those guys and you see those smiles on those kids' faces. That's what it's all about. Just seeing that joy that they have, whether they stood on the sideline, cheered their team on, or you know, played the entire game, seeing that smile is what it's all about. And that they've went out there and they've learned that life lessons that working hard can get you somewhere. And I was very proud of those guys.
Livingston head coach Bruce Lamb with us. The other thing that this game shows is there are hundreds and thousands of ways to win football games. You know, it doesn't matter if you have the most yards. It doesn't matter if you possess the ball the longest period of time. There are all kinds of ways to win a football game.
Absolutely. I think they did outgain us in yards this past week. And you know, that's okay. You know, nobody remembers the yardage. They never remember anything. All they remember is the final score. And our kids just, you know, I can't say enough about them. They're resilient. You know, they get down. They keep coming back. And they play really, really hard. And I sound like a broken record, but I'm just so proud of that fight that they have in them. They just battled, and it was a great game. It was a great game for the fans. It was a great game for everybody. And you know, my hat's off to Upperman. I know they're going to make some noise in the playoffs.
So here you are, 4-0, and an emotional win, a hot night, humid night. How does that affect how you get these guys back for your next game?
Well, you know, we've already discussed this. We discussed it last night. We'll be in shorts most of the week this week, just trying to get their legs back and getting the soreness out and trying to put those fluids in them to get them ready to go. And as far as emotion, you know, like I told the kids last night, it's a raging game next week. You know, we got to have those raging games, and it's Stone Memorial, and they got one on us last year, and you know, at our place. So, you know, we need to put that in the back of our mind, and we need to line up, and we need to play football. And you know, these 13 kids, I tell them every week, you know, you only got six games left, or you only got five games left, you know, and you need to make the most of it, and don't want them to ever regret anything. I want them to get the most out of their abilities in this football team.
Yeah, these marquee games are one thing. Division games are another thing. That's where
Amen.
It counts.
Yeah, you got to have those. Got to have those.
Well, enjoy this one for a little while, Coach. It was a term that's thrown around often too much, but this one was an instant classic. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate it. And, you know, I'm very proud of my kids, and I hope they keep battling.
High school playbook as the Cookeville Cavaliers get their first win of the season, defeating White County Friday night. Head coach Jimmy Maynard joins us live as we're at Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. We're here every Saturday morning talking with players and coaches about the game. Coach, good to get that W in the left-hand column.
Well, it really does. Our kids needed that. We all needed that. And, you know, we've been close a couple of times and just, you know, made mistakes that weren't able to pull those two games out, but it was good against a much improved White County team. Give them credit that they've really made a turnaround. Coach Frazier and his staff have made a turnaround, but our kids, you know, we still make a mistake, but our kids played hard, and we're able to come out there with a win, which is good for the team morale for sure.
Grade your team's overall performance as you look back to your 43-12 win.
I would say B minus. You know, we still defensively, I did not think we played very well defensively. Offensively, pretty good performance. But defensively, I didn't feel like that we got off the blocks very well. I didn't think we ran to the ball well. Got misaligned some, but you know, they gave us a lot of different formations and some things, and, you know, we allowed too many plays. They actually had more plays than we did. We couldn't get them off the field. We didn't give up many points, and one of the touchdowns was just kind of a jump ball that we kind of got out jump, missed time to jump. They scored right before the half. But you know, we've got to get a team off the field and give our offense a chance and get some short fields. We didn't have any short fields. We had to, you know, drive the ball a long distance a lot of times last night. And we made good plays, made a lot of big plays. And offensively, I don't think we were ever stopped. Maybe a penalty right before the end of the first half cost us a touchdown. But besides that, we were very effective offensively.
357 yards running the football. What was keying that?
Well, we felt like going in, you know, we needed to establish some running game with our running backs. Our quarterback, Stockton Owen, has rushed for quite a few yards, and we needed to try to, you know, get a running back game going a little bit, and we were able to do that. Cameron Harris had a big night. Cameron, you know, hadn't carried the ball very much. He kind of plays the fullback position for us, but we were able to stick him back there in a one-back set some, and he had, I think, five carries for 143 yards and a touchdown. And I had some big runs in there. And, you know, Jacob Stamps had a good night, about 50-something yards. And, of course, Stockton had another big night with over 100 yards rushing. So, you know, it was a pretty good balance with our run game. And even in our passing game, we didn't throw it very many times, but we, you know, we had one long touchdown pass called back, had an illegal at a lineman down the field with about a 60 or 70 yard pass that got called back. But I think, you know, just trying to work on that part of our game and get our running backs more involved, I think paid dividends for us this week.
Gotta love that for Cameron, that doesn't get the chance to carry it very often, and then to have a night like that, he was probably shocked.
Well, he probably was. He has to play defense, too, on defensive line. So he had some long runs in that game, some real long runs, obviously, with five carries, 143 yards. There were long runs. He was kind of gassed when he had to turn around and go play defense. But it was a good night for Cameron. He deserves that.
forget the record for just a minute. At this point, four games in, where do you feel like you are as a football team?
Still nowhere near what we need to be. I really have concerns for our defense. We've had injuries on our defensive side, and offensively, I feel like we're not where we want to be, but I feel like we're pretty close on the offensive side. We still got to eliminate some mistakes that we're making, but I saw some signs of that last night in a run game for sure. And but defensively, we've got some problems there right now. We've got to try to, we've lost Marcus Banks for a few games. Hopefully he'll be back in, and broke his hand against Livingston. He wasn't in the lineup. Had another young man that was a linebacker, decided to go home school, so he became ineligible. Last night, Drew Dial went down with probably at halftime. He didn't play the last half, so we're playing with a makeshift linebacking core, which we were pretty thin there to start with, and we've got to try to, do something there to try to make that better and just get things shored up on the defensive side of the ball. We've really got some work to do there for sure.
Makes it tough when you have to shuffle people, especially kind of on the fly.
Well, it really does, Larry, because you try to figure out where they need to play, and they get the reps, and they're still not, where they want to be or where you want them to be, and then you have to put them in a different position. It really makes it difficult, to try to do that and cross train kids to play different places. And Rob Bontrager has been a kid he played inside backer, he's played outside linebacker, and they're totally different in our scheme. But he's been a young man that's had to try to do both, and luckily he's healthy, and he can do both. But it does make it difficult when you have to cross train at different positions.
Finally, Coach, how'd you feel your football team dealt with the emotion, which is always there when White County and Cookeville face off?
Well, I thought it was good. I really felt like both teams. You worry about the sportsmanship and the mouthing and the shoving, and I talked to our kids about that before the game, but there really was none of that there. I give credit to Coach Frazier. He's really done a good job with his kids. He's a young man that played for me when I coached there several years ago, and a quality guy, and his coaches are doing a great job. And our kids, it was a good, clean football game, and both teams fought hard, and I think our kids, when you're 0-3, you got to keep your composure and try to get a win and not get too, won't get too high. And I don't think our kids did that. They were on the, as a matter of fact, at halftime, I wanted a little more energy out of us. I felt like we didn't have enough energy and we stepped it up a little bit and played well the second half.
What's that like going against somebody you coach?
Well, you just, and he and I talked a lot. I want to help him as much as I can. He's called on me, and you have a connection with those people. And I actually, a unique situation last night. My grandson is a starting outside linebacker for him. I've never thought I'd ever see the day that I would coach against my grandson. He's a sophomore and doing a good job for them. But it's a little different when you have to coach against those people, but. Still, if you're a competitor, you want to win, and at the end of the day, you're still friends and try to help each other.
You had a lot of connections in that one, and good that you were able to walk away with
a lot of former players, a lot of, like I said, I started coaching there 4 years ago and coached there for 10 years, so I do know a lot of people. My daughter still lives there, and, grandkids, and, yeah, there's a lot there that I knew, former players on the chain gang, so there's a lot of connections last night for sure.
Jimmy Maynard and the Cavaliers come away with a win over White County. Coach, congratulations, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Larry.
You just rolled out of bed and you want all the high school football action from last night. It's yours at ucsportsnation.com, driven by East Tennessee Ford. Not only football, but volleyball, soccer, golf going on right now. We've got all the information from all the Upper Cumberland schools at ucsportsnation.com.
Jackson County Blue Devils get a win, 48-12. They defeat Red Boiling Springs Friday night as we go to Gainesboro and bring in head coach Sean Loftus. Coach, good win for your football team.
It sure was. You know, we had a complete game last night, I felt like, and it's always great to get a win on homecoming night as well.
What is it like dealing with all of the, I don't want to call them distractions because it's part of it, but of homecoming week and making sure that you get the football part done?
Well, and that's what we tried to emphasize all week long, was not to let homecoming and all the things and distractions, like you said, to go along with homecoming beat you, because when it's all said and done, you know, it's all about the football game, you know, the student body also has to, you know, they had a good time this week and got to do a lot of fun things and show their school pride and things. But you know, when it's all said and done, like I said, it's all about the football game. And I was pleased with the way their kids came out and played for four quarters last night.
Some big plays in the passing game last night.
Yeah, and you know, they, Red Bullen was geared up to stop the run. They kept seven in the box, even whenever we went four wides, and it wasn't like we were throwing the ball down the field. You know, we were throwing our usual stuff, and you know, we had Justin Davis made a couple guys miss and scored on a long pass play there early in their first series, and then later on in the game, you know, Gage Clark caught a short pass and then ran 60 yards for another touchdown as well. And so if they're going to keep seven in the box, we're going to have to throw the ball, because it's really, you don't want to sit there and beat your head up against a wall by trying to just run it, just to run it. And so I was pleased with, you know, with our efforts in the passing game. I think Eli was, you know, 9 of 10 for the night for 233 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah, it has to please you that if somebody's going to do that to you defensively, that your passing game has evolved to the point that you can go out and make plays.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, we've got kids out there that can make plays out wide. And, you know, and Eli has he's been pretty steady all year long. And, and you know, he's a smart kid who kind of knows what I want out of him, and not to do too much, and just to make the right read and get the ball out and get the ball into our playmaker's hands, and good things always happen whenever you get the ball out on time, I feel like. And that's what we kind of preach to him, and our you know, our offensive line did a good job of keeping keeping him upright and letting him have a good pocket in order to throw the ball. And whenever you have a game and you don't have to call on the punter, I mean, it's always going to be a good night for you on the offensive side.
How do you evaluate Justin Davis?
You know, he's one of these that he's a hardworking kid. He's a kid that's always, he takes everything that you tell him into, you know, and stores it back in the back of his head, because, you know, when we run particular screens, he's probably one of the best that we have in order to, like on the slip screens, in order to find that offensive tackle and get underneath and ride what we call ride the way with the lineman, and then getting vertical. And he's a kid that finally, you know, he's played off and on his freshman and sophomore years, but he's kind of came into his own over the last, you know, 3 or 4 months. He had a good summer in 7-on-7, and then, you know, he's had a good start to this year. And like I said, he's just a hardworking kid that just goes about his business, and, you know, that is, he's gotten better each and every year. And, he's just as hard of a worker in the weight room as he is on the field. So, I mean, he's just the kid that you want on your football team.
Jackson County Coach Sean Loftus with us. Blue Devils get the win over Red Boiling Springs Friday night. What did you like defensively from your performance?
Well, we had a lot of kids run into the ball last night. You know, Wid Robbins, who kind of anchors our defense, he picks up a fumble, not only picks up a fumble and runs it for a touchdown, but he also has an interception. So he was kind of, you know, a little bit of everywhere on the field last night, along with, you know, our defensive front line, you know, we kind of shut them out in the run game. I think they had around 30, 40 yards or so running. Got a little work to do in the secondary. I thought we gave up a little bit too much in the secondary, but our front seven, I thought, played really well. We were just we were active. We were moving around. We played fast. We worked on tackling a lot this week because we felt when we went back and charted the Westmoreland game, we had way too many missed tackles. So we worked on, you know, tackling and emphasized that this week. And I thought we tackled better, which is always a good thing. you know, so I thought it was overall, you know, a pretty good performance from our defense.
So here you are, Coach, at the four-game mark. Where are you as a football team right now?
You know, we're kind of banged up. You know, we had a kid last night who found out later last night he had a cracked rib and a punctured lung. Got one kid that's that plays defensive line for us. He's kind of out with a knee injury, could be out for the rest of the year. So we're digging deep down into some kids that you know, we're going to have to rely on that may have not have played up to this point. So you know, we're going to have to go to work on Monday and really try to get some kids caught up. And so it's one of those things to where, you know, we can't make excuses. We're just going to have to, you know, next man up. We've got to come in and fill their role, we got to do the best that we possibly can to coach those kids up. And so, you know, hopefully that, they'll respond next week and be excited about being out there in a big region game for us, against East Robertson, you know, and like I told them last night, I mean, up to this point, this is the biggest game on our season and on our schedule because, you know, one, we still have, you know, playoff contentions on the line and, you know, it's a game that's at home that, you know, hopefully we can kind of feed off our home crowd and, you know, we really need to come to work this next week and with a great attitude of getting better and trying to get these kids prepared for a talented East Robertson team.
Blue Devils win over Red Boiling Springs 48-12, the final score. Head coach Sean Loftus, congratulations on the win.
Thank you very much, Larry.
High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, as we talk high school sports with coaches and players every Saturday morning. Presented by Mountain Barn Builders. On the UC Sports Nation scoreboard from last night, Cookeville defeats White County 43-12. Grace Christian over York 28-7. Eagleville defeats Pickett County 59-18. Clay County shuts out Cumberland County 29-0. Jackson County 48, Red Boiling Springs 12. CAK defeats Stone Memorial 59-20. Monterey wins over Harriman 34-7. Lawrence County defeats Warren County 28-21. Livingston Academy 10, Upperman 7. Watertown shuts down DeKalb County 42-20. Macon County wins over Glencliff 70-8. Trousdale County shuts out Gordonsville 49-0. Wildcats of Monterey 4-0. 34-7 the win over Harriman. And we bring in the head coach of the Wildcats, Scott Hughes. Coach, a good win for your football team last night.
It was a game that, you know, we were very excited about. Harriman is a very good program. Coach Tapp and Coach Bates and their staff, really good staff. They do a lot of great things and have been a great team for a long time and Coach Tapp's been there for a long time, and you know, his record speaks for itself. And we knew when we scheduled that game, it was going to be a playoff atmosphere and a playoff-type football game. And so we were really excited for that kind of that big game atmosphere.
Looks like you did a good job again running the football.
We did, and you know, Harriman put a lot of pressure on us. They, you know, they had 7 in the box, 8 in the box the whole night, and you know, we were really proud of our offensive line again for the way that they withstood pressure, and you know, proud of our backs and our quarterback for the way that they were very patient and let things develop, and you know, they're taking pride in their job right now, and you know, we hit a big pass play early, and that kind of relieved a little bit of pressure on our offense, and you know, it was another good night for us, and just very proud of the effort that our guys up front, you know, our offensive line and tight ends are giving right now.
Does that offensive line, they have the mentality of, you know, you put 7, 8, whatever you want to do, put it in the box, but we're going to still run the football?
Well, they like it, and they like the challenge, and it's a group that I've bragged on all year. Because of the effort that they're giving, you know, Monday through Thursday in practice and the efforts they're giving on Friday night. But they're also spending a tremendous amount of time together off the field, and you know, the camaraderie that group has is very special. And it's a group that we believe in, and it's a group that our backs believe in. And, you know, our offensive linemen are seeing the effort that our backs are giving, and they're seeing the effort that our receivers are giving blocking. And then we're getting the ball out there to our receivers in the reward of, you know, if you're blocking, then we're going to find a way to get you the football. And so right now it's really a total team effort of guys that believe in each other, but they're also, you know, we kind of use that as sometimes they're getting back to back with each other and fighting the battles, and they trust and love each other, and they're trying to take care of each other.
That's such an interesting point, because we sometimes forget of the importance of the wide receivers in the blocking game, and sometimes at all levels of football, wide receivers are reluctant blockers. Sounds like not the case with your guys.
No, our guys have bought into it, and we're very proud of them. And we're asking some guys that are probably more natural tailbacks to be a good blocker. And they're having to learn on the fly a little bit, but it's making our offense more explosive, and it's given us an opportunity to get all of our athletes on the field, and they're buying into the team first concept. And you know, when you look at Michael Allred and Eli Saylors, those guys that have, you know, they're really good tailbacks as well. But you know, we're trying to find a way to get our best athletes on the field, and you know, that group's led by Chandler Bowden right now. I mean, Chandler's a guy that can't brag on him enough because of his effort, not only as just a pass catcher, a route runner, but his effort blocking is tremendous, and he's a guy that we really, really are excited about.
You mentioned the big pass play. Scott Hughes, head coach at Monterey, with us. Shiloh Walker from Jordan Key. What about Shiloh's performance?
Well, Shiloh's a guy that is a grinder. He's just such a great kid, such a high character kid, and you know, we got a couple of looks that we knew we were going to get, and we really, you know how it is. Sometimes you don't expect explosive plays to happen. You know that you can have success on a play, but you don't expect the explosiveness, and we caught him misaligned a little bit, and you know, Shiloh catches it and outruns their defense, and again, to that side, Chandler Bowden makes a huge block to spring him, because otherwise it would have been one-on-one. Instead, Chandler springs a block, and they're misaligned, and all he has to do, Shiloh catches it and gets in the seam. And it was a huge way for us to start the game. I mean, second play of the game, you score from 49 yards out. Huge momentum thing for us that in the pass game.
You hold Harriman to 7 points. So defensively, obviously, a good performance?
It was, but, you know, we got to clean up a lot of mental mistakes. You know, it was one of those things. The 7 they got was off of a busted coverage, and you know, those are things that we got to get back to work on today, as far as just fixing the mental aspects, and we got to become a little bit football knowledgeable more. You know, we're missing things situationally, and sometimes that's one of those things we got to spend a whole lot more time on practice and just stressing the situational football concept.
Scott Hughes, it seems like the last couple of years that your football teams have believed in each other, and you've kind of dug yourselves out of some early holes. Is it a different challenge for you to communicate to them when you're having the kind of success here to start at 4-0?
No, not really. I mean, you know, we've not changed anything that we do. You know, the last few years, our schedule early on has been extremely tough, and we've embraced that challenge. And this schedule is extremely tough to us. I mean, Harriman is a traditional playoff football team. Was in the quarterfinals, I think, 2 years ago. Picked to be in the playoffs again this year. Lookout Valley was a second-round football team last year. Sell Creek returned 10 starters on both sides of the ball and was a playoff team last year. You know, we are a little bit older football team right now, and we've got a lot of guys that's played a lot of football. So the understanding of football is a little bit better for us. The maturation of our team is a little bit better. But our guys, I'm very blessed. Our guys understand the process. We're day by day. And we talk about it. We're one game at a time, but we're day by day through the week. We don't ever look ahead. We got to worry about, you know, Saturday and Sunday, getting treatment, healing our bodies, and starting the mental process of the upcoming week. And then we just got to go day by day, Monday, Tuesday, on down the line and make ourselves better, mentally and physically each day.
Monterey wins over Harriman 34-7 to improve to 4-0 on the campaign. Coach Scott Hughes, always a pleasure. Thanks for the time.
Thank you very much for having us on.
Plenty of football on the agenda here, of course. It's Vols in Chattanooga coming up at 11 o'clock, and pregame coverage already underway on 106.9 Kicks Country. We've got SEC Saturday over on News Talk 94.1, including Indiana and Ohio State at 11 o'clock. Alabama, South Carolina follows, and then Florida and Kentucky face off in the nightcap. Again, that's on News Talk 94.1. Rock 93.7 talking some high school football. This day, we are the High School Playbook, presented by Mountain Barn Builders. Watertown gets the win over DeKalb County, 42-20 on Friday night. Axel Aldino with a couple of touchdowns, one to Isaac Knowles, one to Desmond Noakes, but... Head Coach Steve Trapp, as you join us now from Smithville, just running into a very talented Watertown team.
Yeah, those guys are pretty good. We got a lot of athletes running around, and we just couldn't continue to execute the way we needed to keep up with those guys last night.
What was the difference in the game, in your opinion?
I just think it comes down to mindset and belief. We got a turnover on the very first play of the game. We didn't convert that to any points. They go down and score. We come back, actually go for it, or do a fake punt and get it, get some momentum and score as well. And, you know, looking like it's going to be a good ball game. But, we just kind of flattened out a little bit. You know, we told our guys all week they have the ability to make some plays with all those guys they got running around over there. We just got to keep doing what we're supposed to do. And I just felt our team got a little flat mentally. And when you do that and you don't execute the way you're supposed to, good teams are going to make you look bad. And that's what happened last night.
And you just, it's so frustrating because you just don't know where that comes from.
I know we've talked about it before, Larry. You know, just these teenagers, you know, we've all been there and things like that. And you can see it, you can feel it coming. You know, I love my guys to death, but, and it's part of this, us as coaches to, you know, be role models for them as far as how to handle adversity and how to do what you are asked to do the way it's supposed to be done, no matter what the circumstance is. And I found myself a lot this year talking about mental toughness with these guys, and because I believe in their ability. I feel like we've got some talented football guys, some athletic guys, and I told them that again after the game. I really do believe in their ability, but some way, somehow, the coaching staff has got to help these guys develop some mental toughness. And that's just simply doing what you're supposed to do, no matter what the situation is, good or bad. And, we're going to keep grinding on that. I mean, that's part of what we're here for, and we're going to keep working for these guys.
Is it one of those situations where you just kind of pull your hair out trying to figure out how to get from what they're doing well in the practice field to carrying it over to the four quarters of a game?
Yeah, that's a big frustrating thing. Again, when we talk to them about it, is, you know, you can talk to them about their scheme, you can talk to them about their plays, and you can watch them at practice, and they're executing and doing what we ask them to do. But when the bullets are flying, so to speak, out there on the football field on Friday night, you know, sometimes we just lose it. between the ears somewhat. And, like I said, it's come down to me as a head coach and the rest of the coaching staff just to stay with these guys and keep coaching them, keep training them. I mean, we've got an upperclassman team, but then looking back at it, you know, it's upperclassmen that there's a few of them out there that, you know, this is their first experience, but there's a lot of them out there that's been on the field quite a while. And, you know, so that's the frustrating part. You know, just got to keep them bought in. You know, it's almost midway through the season, but I know we've only played one region game, and that's ultimately what matters. So we want to make sure that we're trying to get better each and every week so that we can perform our best in those and, you know, try to get those home playoff games.
As you look back to the game against Watertown, positives that you take away, positive performances from individuals?
Well, I mean, I thought we had no turnovers. You know, we didn't have a ton of penalties. I mean, so in some aspects, you know, yeah, we can always look at a game. You know, I tell my coaches all the time, it's never as good as you thought it was, and it's never as bad as you thought it was. I mean, again, Watertown's a really good team. I think, you know, top five in their classification, if not higher than that. You know, but still, like I tell our guys, it doesn't matter when you get an opportunity to put a hammer on and go play. If we're playing the Tennessee Titans, we're going to go do our best. I mean, that's the mindset that we want to have as a DeKalb County Tiger. And, you know, right now we're still trying to instill that. And that hurts me to say that, but I'm also one that's going to speak the truth. And, you know, so that's where we are right now.
Steve Trapp, head coach of DeKalb County, as the Tigers fall to 1-3 on the season. Watertown 42, DeKalb County 20. And just trying to kind of find the right mix for that football team right now of what they want to be, both offensively and defensively, but more importantly, just the toughness that you have to play with to fight through and get the wins night in and night out. Well, here we go with week five of the high school football season. Region action is the highlight of the schedule, starting in Clay County as they'll take on Gordonsville Friday night. Cookeville battles Oakland, and we all know the power of Oakland and what they have done over the years with that program, and here they are right back at the top of the division in high school football in the state in 6A. Cumberland County takes on Macon County Friday night. DeKalb County will battle Grundy County. Jackson County is at home to East Robertson. Livingston Academy goes on the road to Stone Memorial. Monterey and Pickett County will face off on the mountain in Monterey. Red Boiling Springs is at Joe Burns. Smith County visits York Institute. Upperman is on the road to Cannon County. Warren County and Blackman face off. White County takes on Walker Valley Friday in Sparta. And that game will be going on in Sparta. Hopefully your favorite team gets the victory next Friday night. We'll have it covered for you here on the High School Playbook next Saturday. And, of course, all week long, the previews, getting you ready for the games, ucsportsnation.com. Thanks to our team, today's show produced by Maddie Greider. Our studio producer is Will Hearn. ucsportsnation.com, directed by Justin Matheny. Assistant Director, Rusty Ellis. I'm Larry Stone. Enjoy your Saturday.